Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The government is expected to table the Ombudsman Malaysia Bill in Parliament this October. Now, this legislation is expected to pave the way for the establishment of an independent body to protect the rights and interests of the public by investigating complaints against government entities or public officials. Joining me on the show today, I have Datuk Dr. Anis Yusal Yusof. He's the director of the Centre for Leadership and Professional Development at University Malaya. In 2018, he was the Deputy Director General of the National Centre for Governance, Integrity and Anti-Corruption, GIACC, which was at the time under the Prime Minister's Department. Now, during his time there at GIACC, he was instrumental in conceptualizing the proposed National Ombudsman for Malaysia. So, Dr. Anis, I'm glad to welcome you to the show. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Melissa, for having me tonight.
Okay, so let's start at the very beginning, because I think, if I may generalize a little bit, I think a lot of people, myself included, may not be familiar with the actual role of an ombudsman at the national level. Can we start there? What is a national ombudsman meant to do, actually?
Okay. Well, not just you. In fact, a lot of people kept calling and asking me, is ombudsman something like an Ultraman with the power to go and solve all the problems? Well, almost. I think what's important for the general public to know that the concept of ombudsman is not something new. It has been around it's one of the oldest mediator, so to speak. The word ombudsman actually originated from Sweden. It's actually from the old Nordic, they call it ombud, which means commission, and mark means man. So it's ombudsman is basically like a commission of men, but of course, women too. For Malaysia, just to have the background, since 1967, when the government at that time invited some consultant from New Zealand to review the need for a body, like what you said, to address if there are any complaints from the general public. If I got my facts right, there was a gentleman by the name of Sir Guy Powells from New Zealand that we invited to help study and understand the needs. And actually in 1968, he recommended that we should already have an ombudsman. But because of the situation back then, perhaps the government at that time realized that we are not ready, we don't have the right people to be put as an ombudsman to have an independent body. So they decided to set up in 1971 what we know now as the Public Complaints Bureau. So we had, to be fair to Malaysian government over the years, there is a body called the Public Complaints Bureau as an avenue for the general public to channel their complaint. So the question we should ask, how effective is the Public Complaints Bureau has been?
Okay, all right. Could I jump in there and ask you, because that was the first thing that came to my mind. We do have a Bureau Aduan Awam, Pengaduan Awam. What is the gap then that the Ombudsman Office would play or would address, given that there is already a mechanism for addressing complaints?
I think what's missing is really the power to investigate, the power to really check on, and as well as to redress some of the issue, because I think what we have now in the form of the Bureau Pengaduan Awam, it's a body basically where they channel the complaint. So if there's a complaint comes for Department A, they would then channel the complaint to Department A and follow up within a week or 2 weeks time to get the answer so that they can then tell back to the complainant. I think that's not enough, because as things get more sophisticated, the general public demands more public service delivery to be of a certain standard. So people complain. If you just use it more as a channel of, it's nothing more than a post office kind of thing. So I think we have to step up to be fair to the general public, to the rakyat, that there should be a body that can really mediate from the complaint and to demand for some answers. But at the same time, I think we need to make sure that the general public cannot simply create the kind of problem by just blaming the public servant. So that's why in the context of ombudsman, that at least when I was working in 2018, 2019, when we made the suggestion, it was supposed to be a second tier complaint. So that means first complaint should be directly to the agency themselves. So every agency should have a complaints department. If only that department failed to address, then the general public will have another place. So ombudsman becomes that body that will be able to then follow up what happened to that complaint. Why didn't you do anything about the complaint? So this is where things are. And I think I must commend to this present government, because since I think sometime January, when the minister mentioned that this government would like to have this bill, and in May now, they already say that it will table in October. I think it's good. This is something that we've been waiting for. In fact, when we wrote the National Anti-Corruption Plan back in 2019, if I'm not mistaken, under we have it under Perkara 1.2.6 under the National Anti-Corruption Plan, where we've stated the need for an ombudsman system. So you have it.
Yeah. So this goes way back to 2019. All right. So
a couple of things that you mentioned that I'd like to follow up on. You mentioned second tier complaints, and that's quite interesting. Can you give me an example of the types of complaints that would go through to an ombudsman level?
Say, for example, we just take particular, it's a hepatitis one department where the rakyat needs to get some help with maybe a license. So he went and applied for a license, which by right, that license should be issued within 2 weeks' time. But what happened after 2 weeks? Nothing is being done. So this particular person may file a complaint that after 2 weeks, the license that he applied did not receive it. So 3 weeks, nothing happened. 4 weeks, nothing happened. Even the complaints department of that particular ministry just ignore this complaint. Where should this rakyat, this poor person goes to? His business depends on that license that should be issued by that particular department. So he needs to find a place. So ombudsman, that's why we kept mentioning that it has to be an independent. So it cannot be a civil servant mending, because otherwise they will be protecting the other civil servant. So you need to have an independent ombudsman, whether it's a retired judge or former, someone that is respectable, that people can trust, that would be able then to instruct, okay, look, why that particular complaint is not being addressed. We need to check, investigate. You can call the department heads. So these are the power of the ombudsman. That would make sure that the people will feel that there's someone is there to ensure that government delivery service is efficient and effective.
Yeah, so some measure of redress to the public in the event of complaints. You also mentioned that the ombudsman should have the power or the authority to investigate. What specific powers and authority should the ombudsman have? Is there going to be overlap when it comes to investigation?
That's where we have to be clear. The ombudsman will be looking mainly on maladministration.
Maladministration.
If it is about corruption, then there is an anti-corruption agency, an anti-corruption commission that can do it. If it's more about criminal, then of course there's a police. So every body would have their role to play, but in this particular, the ombudsman will look at maladministration, where there's lack of integrity of the civil servant in providing the service. So I think it's quite clear cut, and if we And hence, when drafting the law, it's important to look at all the other laws so that it is not duplicating or less.
Right.
So speaking of the law, it's also important because this is the puncak kuasa for the ombudsman, right? Where should the ombudsman sit in terms of hierarchy, in terms of oversight and reporting? Where do you see a natural fit for the office of the ombudsman?
Well, at the moment, there is already this Biro Pengadaan Awam. That's already there, but Biro Pengadaan Awam is directly under the Prime Minister's office for administration purposes. I think, and for budget purposes, you need to know that there should be a body like that. But I think over and above the secretariat, the ombudsman should be appointed by the king, a group of respected individual people that can play the role of the mediator, who then will listen to the complaint and will check and ensure that people get what they deserve, and vice versa, and demand that the complaint should not just be any stories created by people, but it should be based, there must be based some basis of evidence in order for it to be investigated. So where it should be, I think, it should be independent, but certainly we understand that no matter how independent, any government department agency would need to have some funding. So there's a mechanism that it has to be under one of the ministry. But I think it can be under the Prime Minister's office, but the people who are appointed as the ombudsman should be appointed by the king, so by the advice of the Prime Minister. So that person is not, doesn't have to play game, basically, like, oh, if I'm appointed by the Prime Minister, I have to make sure I take care of this government, or it shouldn't be. So the whoever that person may be, he should have the authority to run that particular shop and ensure that justice is being put in place, and the rakyat ultimately will get the best service from the government.
Okay, we're going to take a very quick break here on the show. We will be back and continue this conversation about the proposed Ombudsman Malaysia Bill. Stay tuned to consider this. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our conversation with Dr. Anis Yusof Yusof. He's the director of UM LEAD, which is the Center for Leadership and Professional Development at University of Malaysia. We are discussing tonight the Ombudsman Malaysia Bill, which will be tabled in Parliament this October. Dr. Anis was instrumental in conceptualising a national ombudsman for Malaysia during his tenure as Deputy Director General of the GIACC, National Centre for Governance Integrity and Anti-Corruption, in 2018. Dr. Anis, can we come very quickly to something that you said about mediation? So just before the break, you talked a little bit about the role of the ombudsman in terms of mediation and dispute resolution. I find that quite interesting because right now with the Biro Pengaduan Awam, it's the complaints are directed to each government agency. Would an ombudsman play the role as a third party between government and complainant and the public? And how might that work? Because I'm thinking that this would then be a test of independence, transparency, accountability.
No, and of course, when I talk to mediation, there are many sub-functions within it. For example, the role, advisory role, that has to be played by the ombudsman, basically advising the government agency to perhaps strengthen their complaints unit, because that was where things started to have a problem, because that complaint unit did not respond to the first year complaint. Hence, the general public comes to the ombudsman. So advisory, helping with planning, monitoring role, evaluating how the government agency is functioning in terms of addressing and making recommendations. So There's a whole lot of things that the ombudsman can play, including, and this is the most important part, which I think if this show tonight is meant for people as a take home, to me, we have to educate the general public that there is a body where people can go and complain. Because I know that there's a lot of time when people either get marginalized, get oppressed or distressed. They just don't know where to go. I used to be a deputy chairman of the Enforcement Agency Executive Commission. The 21 enforcement agency is under the purview of the Enforcement EAIC. And we get complaints. And that too, a lot of people didn't know that there is that such body for them to complain when enforcement agency do not do or abuse their power. So similarly to this, the other government department also have the tendency to either abuse or did not do, just basically refuse to do what they are supposed to do. So where do people go to get help or to complain? So these are the kind of avenues and the kind of process that's available. So we have to educate the rakyat is to know what is their right and why they need to come forward and complain with evidence,
yes.
Of course.
Yes, definitely. I think the role of advocacy and awareness really needs to be amped up, particularly if we're going to have an ombudsman. We need to know that we can, you know, trust and go through the process, the inquiry process. You said something quite interesting a little bit earlier about ombudsman recommending ways to improve governance, and I think that's a crucial recommendations to highlight systemic maladministration, systemic issues within the system. How can we leverage, because it's really more than just handling complaints, it's more than finding faults or finding the weaknesses, but rather looking at the system of good governance as a whole. How do we strengthen that?
I think this is where we have to caution that this is not about finding fault. Even the Auditor General's report, when they audit a certain department, it's not just pointing fingers and blaming. Most of the time also, because I used to be in that committee too, and we look at the whole range of audit problems, which you need to have a solution, not just addressing that particular issue, but it's a whole governance system that needs to be addressed. Most of the time people say, oh, we need to strengthen the more control mechanism. But control mechanism in an audit does not change the problem, because at the end of the day, the human being is the one that is going to be creating problems. So you got to address the human being issue. We need to say either training or educate them and address the whole issue. Otherwise, you're just skirting around the bush and you think you have addressed the problem, but you're not basically holding on to the real issue. So similarly with this, it's not just while we are addressing specific complaints against a certain department, but it is, of course, over time, ombudsman or the whole system would be able to look at the problem in the whole country. And the analysis that they will be doing will then come up with a report, which should be tabled to the parliament, where what are the real solutions that we need to address once and for all some of this problem? Otherwise, the problem will just be recurring. Anyways, sometimes we used to joke, the audit report every 2 years, you just come, you will still see the same screwdriver that they will be buying at 300 ringgit cost. So I joked, I said, forget, don't do audit for this year. We just take the previous years and just change the number of years, and you still get the same kind of result. So I think we have to avoid that from happening if you have an ombudsman, because the ombudsman then should through the investigation, they should gather the data in that document that they have. They should analyze all the different problems and the complaints that people have put forward in order for them to understand where are the root cause of the problem. Because sometimes not just the civil servant, it could be system. It could be because of laws that have been around far too long, that's already outdated. You know, we have some laws made in 1957 that are still being used, but it's 2023. that's why people talk about law reform.
Right.
So these are some of the things that has to continuously be reviewed, and people have to look in the perspective of the current trend.
Right. So, I mean, on paper, it sounds like we have an opportunity to set up something good here. It's
promoting good governance. I hope so. I haven't had a chance to look at the bill.
Okay.
But I hope I have a chance and I can give some input ideas from the past. Hopefully, they will take some of this recommendation based on the work that I have done. Hopefully. I'm engaging with some of the people, and I hope that we can have this as soon as possible, because I think it's about time. Imagine, from 1968, the recommendation for us to have ombudsman, only 2023. This is like 55 years later.
Right. So where are the areas of most concern for you? Where do you want to be careful about?
My question is that in terms of law reform, we have to really look at all the laws that are already out there, because certainly you don't want to duplicate or try to do other people's job, but it has to be clear. And there's enough role for the ombudsman to be focusing, because for maladministration alone, there's a lot of things that needs to be done. And I think if we can focus on that, removing, because some, I think what they should do is to also look at comparing, do a kind of study now between all the government agencies, which are the one that has already the highest number. Maybe you have to have a special treatment done for that particular department. Otherwise, they will take the highest number compared to the rest of the agency. So we need to know that the problems are not something that is generally equal numbers from all the department, right? So there will definitely be one or two that will always be, especially the one that's dealing with the rakyat.
Front facing, right, yes. So if I understand you correctly, you're saying that what you really will be paying close attention to is the structure of the bill, whether the bill will provide clear, will provide clarity as to the functions and the power of this ombudsman. Is that right? Okay, so we have to make sure that we get that bill correct.
And I hope that we find the best, the right people for that role. And the appointment, I think, should not come from the government. It should be done by the king, because then only that person will feel that he's appointed by the king and he does not have to give lip service to any power, the political master.
Do you have anyone in mind who should be the ombudsman or ombuds?
I wouldn't want to speculate on television like this. but I know there's a lot of good people out there that would fit the bill, certainly. This is not 1968. So by now we have a lot of good people.
Okay, so in the couple of minutes that we have left, you talked a little bit about how important it is for there to be awareness about the role of an ombudsman.
I want to close with that reminder. Good that you brought that up, because I think advocacy, awareness. No point even if we had the ombudsman, if the rakyat doesn't know their rights and that there is a channel for them to go. Similarly, I kept asking people, do we know that there is only a witness protection plan or whistleblowing act? Not many people know that we have. So if we look at ombudsman, I think good that people read or understand ombudsman in the same context as with the whistleblowing act. So they know that there's a whistleblowing act, which gives them certain rights, and there is this ombudsman for them to channel their complaint. And they are doing this not because they just want to sabotage or blaming the civil service. It's to demand efficiency, to demand effectiveness, to demand that a government delivery system must give the best and nothing else. Basically, that's what the rakyat deserves. And I think, and all civil servants, and I know that I have a lot of friends who are superb, they are very good, very efficient, but it's unfortunate. Only very few This is the Malay saying, Nila Stitik, Rosak Susu Sebelanga. So we've got to address this Nila Stitik and fix the problem.
Well, hopefully this will go towards that and building public trust in an efficient and effective public service delivery. So thank you so much for being on the show today. That was Dato' Dr. Anis Yusal Yusof wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night.